Okay, we will move on to the North Platte Basin.
Greg Johnson, Wilson Water Group. Sorry, you have to put up with me one more time. So the North Platte Basin Implementation Plan, first thing you will notice are some strange similarities to the work we did with the Gunnison Basin Roundtable. We were fortunate to have both of these projects, and there were certainly some economies of scale that helped with keeping us on schedule, on budget. So that was, it was great. It was also, from our perspective, fascinating to see the differences, too, when you compare and contrast these two different basins. A lot of similarities. Ag, of course, is king in the North Platte, as well as the large focus on agricultural issues in the Gunnison Basin. We had, in both basins, a very strong environmental and recreational representation on the roundtable, which helped to round out the plan. In the North Platte Basin, of course, municipal and industrial issues are much, much smaller. It enabled us to really focus on some of those ag issues, on some of the environmental and recreational issues, because the gap has been met in the North Platte Basin successfully by a Water Supply Reserve Account funded project. Also wanted to welcome Rick Wyatt, a member of the North Platte Basin Roundtable. Rick's here to help with anything that I mess up on the presentation, help with answering any questions, and then, of course, Director Wattenberg. North Platte Basin Implementation Plan was the beneficiary of a lot of strong guidance from the roundtable, as opposed to creating another subcommittee to help with the creation of this plan. The roundtable decided to just go for it, keep having every monthly meeting that they had scheduled. This is one of the roundtables that does, to this day, still meet every month, and to really focus as a whole roundtable on this plan. This plan, like the Gunnison plan, we'd work to restructure slightly to make sure that it really met the flow and the local issues up in the North Platte Basin. As in the Gunnison, we had a targeted technical outreach approach. This one was fun in the sense that we were able to dial into a much finer level of detail, so actually looking at a parcel level analysis. With the North Platte Basin, we had a work group meeting with a number of the landowners, and actually had two screens up with GIS showing the different coverages that we had, the irrigated acreage. Everything in the North Platte is tied back to the equitable apportionment decree. They don't have an interstate compact there. It all goes back to the decree. So everything's tied to this acreage that was documented in 1940. So we had that on the screen, on two of these screens, walking through with the landowners on what was irrigated, what wasn't irrigated, what maybe could be irrigated, to really try and increase that acreage to make the most use of what Colorado can do under that that decree. And then the three-state agreement is the other issue there. Public outreach, we had the help of the education liaison with the roundtable. We had one meeting that was attended by about 20, 25 people. It was documented in the newspaper as well. So we had some good involvement there. Went through the whole plan. There was a lot of folks, new faces that I hadn't seen, folks that were not familiar with the roundtable process. So I think it was good to get people plugged in with what's going on up there. And then we had tried to avoid duplication of previous efforts. So pointing to other materials that are out there, really trying to move things forward in the North Platte Basin, trying to figure out what some of these projects on the ground could help increase their acreage under the decree and the three-state agreement. As far as the content is concerned, the context, again, in the basin is that equitable apportionment decree and the three-state agreement. Everything hangs on that. So there's, instead of a certain flow or certain delivery, everything's tied to a number of acres in the basin. And that acreage is not currently being met or being bumped up against. So much of the effort here focused on what projects, can help to increase acreage in the basin, to really make the most of what Colorado has up there, as well as the environmental and recreational side, which is, I'll describe in a minute here. Ag shortages are a huge issue up in the North Platte Basin, and we tried to go through specifically in the sub-basins, and again, given the smaller focus of the North Platte Basin, we were able to go into an even greater level of detail, which was fun. And look at those shortages. On average, they're 40% short every year, 60% in dry years. And we were to really we were able to use the model and look at where those shortages occur. Huge discrepancies, of course, with the different tributaries in the basin. We have a combined project list with 14 projects on it. This was not in existence previously, so the Statewide Water Supply Initiative in the North Platte Basin had one project. It just had the Walden Water Supply Improvement Project that was funded through the Water Supply Reserve account, successfully met the gap in the North Platte Basin for M&I, and the focus here was more on ag, on environmental and recreational projects in the basin. I'll add, we did also have three Division of Water Resources protocols on this project list, which I'll discuss in a little more detail. This is actually one of the more interesting things, I think, that came out of this process, and I think will be very useful into the future. This plan, again, extremely similar to the Gunnison Basin Implementation Plan, had five major sections and an introduction to really set the stage for what's going on in the basin, walking through the goals, needs, an evaluation of some of the regional issues in the basin, some of those case studies, and then diving into the project's Section 4, conclusions, recommendations, Section 5. This is the guidance, again, comparison to the CWCB guidance, showing how the pieces fit in there. We do have all the different things, with the exception of Section 4.8, the interbasin projects and methods. There are no inclusion of a discussion about interbasin projects in the North Platte Basin Plan. Introduction walks through an overview of the plan first to set the stage for what this process is, where the plan came from, so folks who are not familiar with the roundtable can pick it up and make sense of what the plan is all about. There's an overview of the basin itself, so getting into more of the detail for the context, again, back to the interstate agreements, the decree, and how that dictates water use in the basin, the hydrology, water management, water rights administration in the basin, and then getting into watershed health, water quality, and forest health issues. North Platte has focused on forest health. There was a fairly major study that was funded, again, through the Water Supply Reserve account of CWCB, that the Forest Service has been working on with some researchers up at CSU in Fort Collins. That study is not yet complete, but the roundtable has been very involved in that and very curious about the impacts. There's some significant mountain pine beetle impacts up in the basin, how that relates to, you know, to risk in the basin, how that relates to water yield, you know, what the interplay is there. So they're watching that very keenly. And then we have an overview of the available basin information. So the model, like the Gunnison, we're fortunate to have a fully developed model in the North Platte Basin and use that extensively in this process, and then a discussion of the previous studies that were done. This is a quick map of the North Platte Basin. We had divided it up. It's basically all District 47, so all of Jackson County there. That's the focus of the work that we did. The basin officially includes the Laramie River, District 48, and then Sand Creek as well, District 76. But, you know, as you can imagine, most of the, you know, the actual water use is really focused in District 47, so in the actual North Platte River Basin. So we had split this into the major tributaries so we could get a better look at what was going on. I just threw in that little where to find more information box. This is one of the things that we included throughout the report. So again, trying not to reinvent the wheel, to point to where a lot of this good information is that already exists. We also have a reference inventory in the back of the report. It's the first or second appendix, I believe, and that has hot links to all these reports. So if you pull it up, you know, once we have this distributed, this is posted on the website right now, and you know, we have a few minor updates, but you know, when you pull that up in the PDF, you can control click on these links to get to these reports. So the basin goals, again, we had walked through the goal, you know, quick explanation of what that goal is, a process that can be it can be followed to help achieve that goal, and then what the measurable outcomes are for each of these goals. So the basin had settled on these eight goals. So the first and foremost, similar to the Gunnison in the sense that there's, you know, kind of the overarching issue here in the North Platte Basin, it is that decree and the three-state agreement that really dictates, guides water use within the basin. Second goal there is to increase economic development. With about 1,500 people in the basin, economic development is a key issue in Jackson County, so trying to be as strategic as possible with water use for the sake of the economy. One of the things that came out of this process, which I think is helpful, we'll see what happens down the road, but is a potential augmentation plan. There's no aug plan right now in the North Platte Basin, This was explored somewhat. We had some discussions at the roundtable, did a little bit of preliminary research about what that might look like in the basin, how that could help. I know Aaron Light's office, a division engineer, gets calls from time to time for some very small augmentation needs, but still, from an economic standpoint, could really help in the basin, some things like a meat processing facility and a pellet plant and things like that. So that's one thing that came out of this process. The third one there, again, a lot of issues in the North Platte focus on rehabilitation, restoration of existing infrastructure. Really trying to focus on what can be brought back. They've already funded quite a few projects from the Water Supply Reserve account and will continue to do so. Maintaining healthy rivers and wetlands, this is huge for the environmental issues up there and the recreational economy. So trying to maintain what they have and being as strategic as possible in implementation of further projects up there. And then also having that tie between environmental recreational benefits and agricultural water use. So we did some work in case studies to really try and make that link. And then promoting water rights protection through improved stream flow gauging data. So as you can imagine, in the North Platte Basin, there could be improved gauging data. We have some historical records from some gauges that are no longer in existence, have recommended that some of those locations could actually be brought back to help with the data and help with modeling into the future. And then 7 and 8 there, 7 is the forest health. So again, continuing to be involved, that study was funded through the Forest Service, but the basin very much wants to be plugged into forest health issues moving forward. And then conservation, well, not a big issue in the North Platte Basin. The roundtable does support conservation efforts, municipal water conservation efforts statewide. Basin needs, we again try to be as systematic as possible, walking through the needs, the process, updates. Updates are missing, of course, from M&I. That gap has been met. Walden Water Supply Improvement Project did meet the future needs of the town of Walden. For the environmental and recreational needs, we went through and created a heat map. So this basin actually was the I have a slide in a minute here, was the only basin, to my knowledge, that actually went through and prioritized their environmental and recreational needs. So part of this process for the BIP was to use that prioritization as a way to go through and identify where to focus their future environmental and recreational projects moving forward. On the ag needs, we did the previous slide I had showed with the different tributaries. We did a more detailed analysis at a tributary level to look at the shortages and then really put in some effort to identify some of the reason behind those shortages. So three main reasons for the ag shortages are hydrologic shortage, simply the water is not there, legal availability issue, so somebody else is calling that water down. And the third one, which is really key when we're going through and looking at some of these projects, is an agricultural practice shortage. So in a lot of cases, you can't get a second cutting, or folks historically have just ended it. In July, that's just kind of the way that they do it. So identifying where things are really just based on a practice up there, and where it really is more of a legal or a hydrologic issue, and therefore a project could help out in that case. The ag needs, this is a summary of the agricultural needs showing, I'd mentioned about 40% on average are the shortages basin-wide. Again, some of that is tied to the agricultural practices, so we had to be careful to identify, where the shortages were real and could be met. And we had wanted to also break out where the irrigation consumptive use is occurring, not only from the direct diversion, but also from the soil, to show the impact of that soil moisture storage. Which came into play in another analysis I'll show in a minute here. This shows what we had done at each of those tributaries, so walking through showing the supply-limited consumptive use compared to the irrigation water requirement, and again showing what is met from the direct diversion, but then also what's met from the soil, so showing that the sponge, the soil water, is used later in the season, saturated with these diversions early, and that really comes into play, especially in dry years later in the season where the pasture grass is using the moisture from the soil. This is the list of the environmental and recreational needs. So this was done during the previous process, so during the statewide water supply initiative. The roundtable actually went through and voted on these attributes. These were all the attributes that were mapped and done as part of the phase one process for the non-consumptive portion of that study. So this is how things shook out when they went through and did the voting. This is what we used as an additional layer when we went through for the sake of the environmental and recreational needs in this process to try and be strategic moving forward, was to add that layer, so that prioritization on top of those attributes. So a much more simplistic version of this was done during the previous analysis, so a segment count map. This one adds, you know, the additional kind of heat map issue of the prioritization, so showing, you know, where those important attributes are throughout the basin. We had also looked at the preliminary draft of the gap analysis that was done for CWCB during the BIP process that TNC had helped with. In the case of the North Platte Basin, you know, the methodology made perfect sense. I think it was a good product, but the way things shook out in the North Platte Basin, most of the basin was red, so it just really wasn't helpful on either side of the equation to really help identify where environmental and recreational needs were. So this is why we went with this strategy for the North Platte Basin. For the evaluation of water issues in the basin, we again leaned on the water resources allocation model, so state mod. We had the spatial data, which was key in the North Platte Basin because of the irrigated acreage issues. So not only that 1940 irrigated acreage map, which actually had identified irrigated and irrigable land at the time, but also with subsequent coverages. So the state goes through historically about every 5 years to identify the irrigated acreage up there, and it now has been actually doing that every year. And that's helpful, of course, for the decree, but it was helpful in this case to do that overlay, walk through at the workshop with the landowners, see where maybe in 1940 something was irrigated, it's not currently irrigated, and in some cases that was because there's just infrastructure issues. The infrastructure has broken down and needs to be rehabilitated, so really trying to identify those issues there. For the case studies, we had three that we walked through. We had an analysis of irrigated acreage, so showing how we did that overlay with the data that we had. An analysis of legally available flow, so the hydrology up there that we did at the tributary level. And then trying to tie the ag impacts with the stream flows and how there are some benefits between the two. So looking at that in a number of different ways, comparing natural flow to stream flow in the basin, looking at consumptive use from irrigation supplies, and then looking at irrigation practices as well as reservoir operations and how they have some stream flow impacts. For the irrigated acreage analysis and legally available flow, this is an example for the McCumberland Ditch Project. So this shows that acreage layer that you can, sorry, it's not the clearest of images there, but you can see the irrigated acreage from 2013 and the DSS identified acreage and trying to show where we could bring more land back into production and compare that with monthly model results showing what legally available flow there is. And in dry years, there isn't any flow, but on average, and in wet years, there is sufficient flow to bring some of this acreage back into production. I think it was about 540 acres in this case. This is an example of the analysis of ag impacts on stream flows, showing the North Platte River at Northgate, so the top of the state, bottom of the basin, and the difference between natural flow and physical stream flow. And that the diversion impacts take off the top of the hydrograph there. But in the late season, and you see especially for that Peterson Ditch example, when we simulate the diversions as if they were taking their full diversion, in the late season, those diversions are not taking what they could, what they're entitled to, and that water is left in the river. So certainly, as we walked through the basin, there's more impacts in some areas than in others, but it was interesting to see on the average, on the whole, that a lot of those late season diversions are not there and that water is left in the river. For the basin projects, this again was an effort in really seeing what we could do, what we could come up with, trying to think outside the box to help meet some of these needs in the basin. Because, again, nothing was identified by the previous work during the statewide water supply initiative. But there were some ideas that were out there. There were some, you know, reservoir projects that folks had thought about, you know, that maybe somebody's grandfather had talked about. And so some of those things, we had some good discussions about what was out there, as well as some of these ongoing issues with Division of Water Resources and some of those protocols that fit nicely into the work that we were doing. As with the Gunnison, we kept our same summary template, so we wanted to be systematic walking through each of these projects and then having a summary for the main projects that came out of the process. So for the planned projects that we had, we ended up with 14. This includes the three protocols for the Division of Water Resources. Those protocols involve storage, irrigation season, and irrigated acreage assessment. So these tie back to the decree. So the storage protocol, one of the things in the decree is not just the irrigated acreage basin-wide, but it's also a limitation on what can be stored for irrigation use. So the decree is actually silent on other uses for storage, but there's a limitation of 17,000 acre feet. And that has typically been an issue in a wet year following a dry year. So when the bank account has been drawn down and then you have the benefit of being able to, you know, slug a lot of water into the system, that's when you bump up against that 17,000 acre foot limitation. And as an issue in 2013, Division Engineer Aaron Light's office came up with a storage protocol, a draft storage protocol that the basin has been working with to help identify what accounting procedures need to be followed for the storage. You know, what kind of notification can help with that process when you do have that wet year after a dry year and you're starting to bump up against that limitation, to really help define that process, since it could be an increasing issue in the future. Irrigation season protocol is similar to define, you know, an irrigation season for the basin. We did some analysis using frost dates and data that we had in the model to help show, you know, what might make sense for that irrigation season, how to define that irrigation season. And then finally, the last protocol is the irrigated acreage assessment. And that's, you know, again, every year now, Division of Water Resources is going through with the data that they have, with the remote sensing data, to identify the irrigated acreage. That's something that we had helped with, and it was, you know, again, a very interesting process meeting with the landowners and going through on what, you know, may have been identified by the remote sensing data that was out there versus, you know, their understanding of the irrigation on the ground. And so this protocol, working with some staff at Division of Water Resources, you know, helps to be as systematic as possible outlining that process. Another thing that came out of these meetings is the identification that, you know, that might be a good thing to do every year. So I think moving forward, there will probably be an annual meeting, you know, with some of the water users up there to go through this irrigated acreage assessment to really try and ground truth some of that. So I think it's helpful to have as many people involved as possible in that process. Some of these other ones, you know, it's a fairly diverse list. There's the Verner State Wildlife Area, the last one there on the list, is a Colorado Parks and Wildlife project. They had come to the roundtable for funding about a year ago, and maybe circling back again. There were some issues with the project at the time and the funding request and whatnot, but that's one of those things that may be a good opportunity to help meet some of those environmental and recreational needs. Basin augmentation plan, I mentioned briefly earlier, we had done some preliminary research that may be something that could help in the future. A lot of questions as to how that would be structured. Like the Gunnison, the North Platte is not supportive of transferring water out of agriculture. That's, you know, the mainstay of water use in the basin, life in the basin right now. So trying to have an augmentation plan that would be a new water right as opposed to transferring existing rights is key there. That could be combined with the Walden Reservoir project. So dredging of Walden Reservoir is one of those. That's number three on the list. That could potentially free up some space that could be used for an augmentation plan, but a lot more work would need to be done on timing and amounts and how that could meet the location of potential augmentation participants for that plan. So trying to really just, again, think outside the box how we could help the basin. We did some modeling work on these to identify, you know, where flows are available for some of these new projects. We had refined the Swazi list that we had got originally. Again, we had the M&I project on there, had some identification in the Swazi report on what the needs were from an ag standpoint, but really dived into the details on this. And then again, looking for water availability, general feasibility of these projects, competition for the same water, looking at the shortages at the tributary level. For this, we had limited project data, but we had a lot of new projects that we added to the list. So, you know, a lot of things trying to think outside the box. When we went through that presentation with the landowners there, we came up with, I think, about 6 or 7 brand new projects. You know, in a lot of cases, this was like a siphon, for example, you know, an old siphon, old diversion that hadn't been used in years. But the collective impact of those projects is 10,500 acres that could be brought back into production. So I don't know, you know, the timeline of how some of these things could move forward. A lot of these are fairly expensive fixes, but it's been helpful, I think, to start to identify where some of these things could come into play in the basin. And then, again, as in the Gunnison Basin, an inventory project specifically targeted at infrastructure needs was singled out as something that Jackson County Water Conservancy District could help with moving forward to add another level of detail and really look at these head gates systematically and some of the other infrastructure issues throughout the basin. This is a map of those 14 projects showing where things are in the basin. We have the acreage projects there in green, so you can see where those acres were identified. Another part of that process that was interesting was to have one of the major landowners in the basin, the Silver Spur Ranch, that has a number of large properties throughout the basin. They were very involved in the process, which was great. They haven't been as involved with the roundtable process all along, but they were very plugged into this, which was helpful. They have a number of ranch managers, and a couple of them actually came to the meetings. And then we have the reservoir projects, you can see, and as well as the improvement and diversion projects. For the environmental and recreational projects, we had worked with the environmental representative on the roundtable and then a number of the liaisons. So these focus on a number of the agency holdings within the basin, so that there's a number of federal and state lands and parks within the basin. So this is a lot of the things that they had already planned and then putting a little more thought into their list and refining things on what really made sense to migrate to the Basin Roundtable list. So number of Forest Service projects, a number of BLM projects, some things on the ANWR, is the Arapaho National Wildlife Refuge. There's also, this is just an example, there's 49 of these projects. Ducks Unlimited has a handful of these, some waterfowl projects. They've been fairly involved in the basin as well. And then this is a map showing, you know, where these projects are. Some of these are not shown because they're actually basin-wide. Project summary sheets, this will look very familiar. Going through, again, trying to identify what these constraints and challenges are on a project-specific level. Looking at the implementation steps, you know, what some actual steps within this project scope may be, and then how effective that is at meeting the basin goals. Quick example of a project-specific analysis. This ditch has not been irrigating in quite a while. A fairly large parcel, though. There are some issues with easements. It crosses some federal land. But the water availability is actually fairly good for this project. When we did the analysis, compared the crop irrigation requirement for this parcel, and then looked at the legally available flow. So things like this, you know, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but there is some potential down the road for parcels like this. And then finally, conclusions and recommendations. Really tried to show, of these 14 projects, how are they tied back to each of those goals and measurable outcomes? And then what are these recommendations moving forward? Again, a lot of similarity with the Gunnison Basin on the implementation strategy. So it helped from our standpoint with the economy of scale of working on this plan. For the effectiveness of the goals, you know, going through most of the goals, all except that Verner State Wildlife Area, are really helping with, you know, maximizing consumptive use under the decree. And then everything else falls along those first few goals. The last two, goals 7 and 8, if you remember going through the goals, goal 7 was the forest health issue. So there's not any planned projects in the future, but again, the basin Roundtable wants to be very involved with forest health issues moving forward, has funded that study and are very keen to hear how that goes when they report back. They've been doing so about every year since that project started. And then the last one there is that eighth goal was conservation. So not a huge issue within the basin with the town of Walden, but again, supported by the Roundtable statewide. And then the same strategy on our standpoint as far as tying the problems with the solutions, so the constraints with the strategies, looking at... Yeah. That's actually the statewide summit.
Any questions or comments from the board? Director Wells.
I have a question which maybe Director Wattenberg needs to answer. Could someone explain to me in like three sentences what the equitable apportionment problem, decree, it, whatever, how does that work?
Come on.
Okay, well, 5 minutes. How about that?
No, I won't take that. Basically, it's tied in with Wyoming and Nebraska.
Can you identify yourself for the record?
Pardon?
Oh, would you identify
away.
Yourself?
All right. Do what?
Your name.
My name? I thought, is it Rick Wyatt? I'm the vice chair. Got stuck on this job. I'd much rather be golfing today. But whatever. It was a debate back then on the water that was coming out of the North Platte, and so they limited us to a 145,000 acre foot of irrigated acreage a year. And now this is just the north, our part of the North Platte, not the Laramie River. But we could store 17,000 acre foot of irrigatable water a year. I mean, I think we can. It's never been tested in court. We might be able to store a couple hundred thousand acre foot of municipal, environmental, you name it. But that's kind of the basis, and we're held to that. And then we got the tri-state now, of course, you know, the agreement, you know, with Wyoming and Nebraska because the pallet sturgeon, lee sturgeon, and pipe and plover and all that. But and that's got us limited now, too. And they basically, I'll say it, and I'm not happy with it, but they took away kind of 10,000 acre foot from us down to 135. Where our high year was 135.6 something. If Crowder was here, he could tell you exactly. I don't have the exact numbers, but that's basically what it is. And so we lost acreage in one sense. But they have given us a basin depletion plan, and we're utilizing it a little bit. But it's based on 117,000 acres instead of 135, because that's been our high in, I think, the last 10 years. And speaking on that, I've got a question for this board. We're talking about conservation all the time, and we're going to save this. What happens with the state law and partial abandonment when we do this? Are these senior water right users going to lose part of their water because they are being conservative? A question for y'all. Because it's a concern. I hate to see anybody lose their water right, and we have lost quite a few in Jackson County. So, some of them rightfully so. They were completely abandoned, but some of them not really. They just needed upgraded. And there was financial situations because you know the agricultural industry at this point in time. But a question for y'all. Anybody got an answer? Russ, you don't have an answer for me?
Right. Okay. We don't have enough time to answer.
Oh.
It's a key question.
Yeah. Yeah. That scares me. That's all I'm saying. That scares me. And wanting us to do it. And I do have an issue. Another thing, the in-stream flows is all right, okay? If they're above where they can't affect the senior water right users, which automatically we have in our county, okay? We have in-stream flows. But I'm looking at this, and I'm hearing everybody wanting them, especially the CWCB as part of your basin or your charge or whatever. Why don't you go onto the federal lands, put the storage in, you guys start getting behind all that, make it multiple use, then you got your in-stream flows. Then you can put it down as it goes. But we got so much. 65% of our county is federally owned, okay? It was. It's more than that. Now we keep losing ground, it seems like. But why not? I mean, why not work with them and get this? Because it's obvious that they're not managed land, or we wouldn't have so many dead trees. Now, that's obvious. They shut all those roads down up there, and my daddy was a sawyer for 36 years in Jackson County. Sawed all those trees, all those roads they shut down, they were called bug roads, okay? Every time there was a beetle infestation, they found it, they went in, and they got rid of it. This last time, we had to study it. And, of course, you can see what the studies has done, but I guess the positive side of that, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Leaf and Trundle's report. There's over 50 years of cumulative science as far as the Fraser Station and the Coon Creek that you gain, basically, and I'm going to give you my, I've read it once, I'm not going to read it again. An assumption, the basic of it is, if for every acre of trees you cut, you gain an acre foot of water for 30 years, and then it diminishes as the trees start growing back and taking back over in the sublimation of what holds on the branches and everything. So I'm seeing this with a little bit more water here, even on bad years. It's going to happen for a few more years, okay? I guess the rest of my life, my age, unless I do something different, and I got too many bad habits to change. So I'll quit there.
Other comments from the board? Director Wattenberg?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If there are no other questions, back to your question. I think the correct one is 134,467 is the total
acres.
Is the total acreage allotment out of the Supreme Court decree.
Okay.
And also, I would very much, on behalf of the residents of North Park, like to thank the CWCB board and of course, staff for allowing us to do the basin implementation plan. We truly do appreciate that. So thank you again.
Thank